You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Tally's Folly, playwright Lanford Wilson's charming ode to outsiders who find love just as they've given up on the possibility of it, earned him a Pulitzer Prize in 1980, but it hasn't been given a major New York revival since its Broadway premiere. Until now, that is, with a lovely production by the Roundabout Theatre Company that reviewers have called sparkling, splendid, absorbing, and superb. Its run at the Laura Pels Theatre on West 46th Street has been extended until May 12th, and I'm delighted to welcome the play's two stars, Danny Burstein and Sarah Paulson, to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks so much for having us.
Sarah, most people know you from film and TV, Deadwood, American Gothic, American Horror Story, HBO's Game Change, and many others. Has that left you much time for appearing in theater?
This is the first play I've done in 3 years. I did a Donna Margulies play at Manhattan Theater Club called Collected Stories with Linda Lavin, and I hadn't been on stage in 3 years, which was one of the major reasons, aside from knowing that Danny was a part of the production and the play itself, that I wanted to come back and do a play.
Had you seen it before?
I had never read it before. I was not well-versed in the beauty of Lanford Wilson's writing. I can admit that now that I'm an obsessive Lanford Wilson person. So
because you get to say the lines.
And you get to say the lines.
When you're an actor and you're saying certain people's lines, you think, oh, gee, I wish I'd been around to tell them to change this, or vice versa. Wow, this is so beautiful. I never realized until I said it out loud.
It just never occurred to me. I certainly in this play, I would never I couldn't possibly find anything that I would wish Lanford would have changed. I do wish he was around and had been around in our rehearsal process, because Danny and I both had an infinite number of questions that it would have been wonderful to have him answer.
Like what?
Oh, God. Well, you know, part of the conceit of the play for Sally is that, you know, she comes
into... Her name is Sally Talley.
Sally Talley. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that she comes into this room, into the boathouse, very angry at Matt Friedman. What the audience doesn't know fully at that point is that she loves him, but she is doing everything she can to keep herself from letting him know that, and for her to know that, even for herself fully. And so it's this play with two people, but he never has her actually leave. So there's this undercurrent, this subterranean story of she doesn't want to be there, and she does want to be there. And I there were many times in rehearsal where I wished I could have asked Lanford, well, what am I supposed to do? I'm just going to stand here, but you keep having me. I don't know how to solve this, you know, problem. And it was something that Michael Wilson and Danny and I together would kind of figure out. But had he been there, I would have said, why are you having her sit here? Why would she sit? She wants to leave the room.
But isn't it kind of satisfying to know that you have worked those things out?
Yeah, there is a certain satisfaction in that. But I wonder if he would just look at me and go, oh, lady. You did it all wrong.
In the movies, they could just cut away. Danny, you've also done a lot of film and TV, including Boardwalk Empire, and many New Yorkers think of you mainly as a theater actor still, mm-hmm. because of the revivals of Golden Boy, Folly, South Pacific. Have you? You seem to be specializing in revivals.
Have you been
in any of Lanford Wilson's other plays?
No, I haven't performed in them before. I did scenes from The Gingham Dog, which was a wonderful play, but that wasn't since I was in high school at the High School of Performing Arts, which is, ironically, right across the street from the Laura Pels Theater.
Now, why do you think this one hasn't been revived more often, especially since it won a Pulitzer?
Well, you know, it is revived all the time.
Regionally.
I mean, so many people have seen the show, but I never had seen it before. I'd never read it. I thought it was this... Like I think many people assume, it's this sweet love story. But instead, it's this beautiful, wonderful play. It's a very good question why it has not been revived.
I think it's part of what you said, that there is a misconception that it is a sort of saccharine, overly treacly mm-hmm. play. And I think it's not that, and it's
not
so much
all.
More than that. But I can imagine, you know, it being perceived that way.
There are people who have talked about the danger of that happening if you perform it in a certain way. But I'm sure that was on both of your minds when you were working this out.
Well, you know what? It's the type of actors that we are, I think. We both, if I can speak for Sarah for 1 second, we
no,
both...
No, Danny.
Damn it. We both think alike, and we both try and find the honesty and the truth and the reality of every moment as we go on. And we're lucky that way. We try never to gloss over moments.
We're still doing it. I mean, I can see Danny doing different things all the time, and I don't know. I'm sure you can't see me doing anything.
Of course, of course. We're both every day. You have a chance to make it better. That's the great thing about doing a run like we're doing.
This has always upset me because actors have told me this many times, and this the play is now extended till May 12th, and right. I was wondering whether I should have seen it when I saw it or waited until May 11th when you've really gotten everything
this
down.
This is just our way of getting people to come back.
I do always feel, you know, the play closes May 12th. I do think probably somewhere around June 15th I will have really figured out how to play her. I could do it in my living room.
Well,
let's
talk about Sally Talley for a moment. Mm. She's 31, works at a hospital in the town of Springfield, but still lives with her family on their farm near Lebanon, Missouri. Is this a situation she's happy with?
You know, I think a woman living at home at 31 in 1944 is probably tantamount to, I don't know, a 50-year-old woman living at home now. Mm. It's certainly a choice that she made for reasons she believes are very valid, which is that I think she perceives herself to be broken.
Despite being intelligent and attractive.
Yes, despite being, thank you.
Brilliant.
yes, she's smart and she's an enormous heart, but there's been a calcification, I think, of her spirit and her heart, and you know, something that Lanford talks about in the play, the egg cracking of, you know, what it means to really allow another person to penetrate your heart. And you know, it's something that she has since she was, when she got tuberculosis when she was 17 or 18 years old, and you know, I don't want to give away too much of what happens, but she has believed herself to be broken.
At one point, she even tries to tell Matt she's only 27,
yeah,
because she's ashamed to be over 30 and still unmarried.
And living at home, yeah, you know.
Well, Sally and Matt both see themselves as outsiders. Didn't Lanford Wilson also see himself that way because he was gay?
Probably, yeah. He came in into being, I mean, as a playwright in the 60s at the Cafe Chino and places like that. And they were these subversive guys with this anti-war movement. Mm-hmm. And he and Marshall Mason and all the rest of the people that became part of the Circle Rep. I'll bet that's exactly how he thought of himself. And he was...
Well, it's a theme in a number of his plays.
Yes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculously smart. Mm-hmm. On many, many subjects, apparently. Everybody I talked to who knew him well said he could speak intelligently on, you know, anything, basically. You know, the environment and great writers. And Chekhov was a great influence on him, and Tennessee Williams.
Mm-hmm. Well, you play Matt Friedman, mm-hmm. a Jewish accountant who lives in St. Louis. How did he wind up in Lebanon, and how did he meet Sally? Well, how did he wind up in St. Louis?
Well, he came to America in the early 1900s with his uncle and his uncle's wife and four cousins.
And he's uncomfortable talking about his roots.
His roots, yes, because he has a very dark past. His parents and his sister were both killed during World War I, and it was a very difficult upbringing, to say the least. And then he was rescued and saved by his uncle and his family, and they moved to the United States, and he basically made a life for himself in St. Louis as an accountant, but never really opened up about his past.
When the play opens, Matt addresses the audience directly, telling them the play will last exactly 97 minutes,
right,
in case they need to get a drink of water or go to the bathroom or something. Was that a way of breaking the fourth wall? Was that way of breaking the fourth wall a radical opening speech for a play at the time that he wrote it?
No, I think there were other plays. I think he's probably influenced by The Glass Menagerie. Mm-hmm. But I think it is unusual in the style of this kind of a play because he never goes back to it again,
right,
except for almost one line at the very, very end of the play. So it is quite unusual, and it is arch, and I think it's an unusual transition for the play itself and for the audience seeing it. But, you know, if we do our job well, it works.
Well, it also gets the audience rooting for him and his quest to win Sally's heart.
I hope so, yeah.
It's pretty much a long two-character scene which unfolds in real time. There are no blackouts, no set changes. Does it actually clock in at 97 minutes, as Matt promised?
Pretty much 97 minutes, occasionally 96:42, sometimes 98:01.
But it's pretty amazing,
Is it difficult? Well, you were talking earlier about wondering what you had to do. Sometimes I was thinking about performing an entire play without a break.
And, you know, this is a second two-character. As I said, I did that Donald Margulies play with Linda Lavin, and that was another two-character play. But the difference with that was that we did have scene changes. We had blackouts. You had a moment, even if it was just a flash, to kind of collect your thoughts before the next section of the play. This, we go out there, and there isn't a moment. And I can, you know, in full disclosure, in all honesty, there have been moments in plenty of plays where I've thought about what I was going to have for dinner at some point while I was on stage. And in this play, it's just not possible because, you know, it really just requires you to be completely present and in the moment. And because you're just engaged with the other actor and you're not waiting for the five other actors on stage to speak and have their scene before you start talking. And it's such a call and response thing between us. And we're at cross purposes sometimes, and our intentions and our objectives and our wants are so different. And yet there's this base story of tremendous love between us, between our characters.
It's exhilarating and it's relentless.
And it's exhausting. We've never been so, you know, everyone will say to us afterwards, you know, oh, it's so, you know, it's so sweet and it seems like you guys, it seems so easy. And we're all just panting like dogs at the end of it going, oh.
We live like monks.
Yeah.
My guests are Sarah Paulson and Danny Burstein, the two stars, the two actors in Tally's Folly, now at the Laura Pels Theater on West 46th Street off of 6th Avenue, a fairly new theater. The Roundabout has done a lot of productions in there. It's been extended until May 12th because the Roundabout then has something else coming in?
Yeah, I mean, I would keep doing it. I really would. But I do believe there's another production coming.
Yeah, there is.
Now, you mentioned earlier that that Sally seems, well, first of all, she seems truly put out to find Matt in this boathouse where the play is set. How much of her reluctance to accept Matt as a suitor is due to her family's disapproval of him because he's a liberal and he's Jewish?
I think there's a large portion of it that it's about that. It's I think Sally imagines herself, and I think she is, in fact, a very progressive thinker. But, you know, your family, they define so much of who you are and how you see the world. Even if you have an opposing opinion or viewpoint, it's always going to be in the back of your mind how other and different you are than they. And so I do think that it matters to her that they don't like him. And I do think that it's a piece of the story for sure.
And she's also a Midwesterner who is kind of reserved. And Matt's character is definitely gregarious.
Absolutely.
A little over the top. He's been writing to her every day since he met her.
Dear Sally, today I sneezed. Yes.
When you think of it, after you leave the theater, you realize that although it's supposedly about a couple wooing, it really is also about the history of the American Midwest, the immigration of Jews from Europe to America, assimilation, anti-Semitism. World War II is still going on in Europe. So it's not just a simple love story.
No, and that's the thing about this play is that it's a surprise that way. If you think it's just this sweet love story, it's really so much more than that.
It's the second play in Lanford Wilson's Tally trilogy. Do you know if there are any plans to revive the others, 5th of July and Tally and Sons?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It would be wonderful, yeah.
I don't know, though.
You could be in all three.
Well, it's 5th of July, Sally's 65, and Matt's kicked the bucket, so you can't be in the last one. And I can wait a couple years and hopefully.
And Lanford Wilson died 2 years ago. Have his works been getting another look since then?
The Signature Theater is doing a season, aren't they, based on his works?
They're doing the Mound Builders. I think it's over now.
Right, that Joe Bonney director. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be wonderful.
So have you spoken to the Signature about?
No, but I mean, we did
Lanford Wilson specialist.
We did a reading that Michael Wilson directed for the Roundabout at the Pels of Tally and Sons, which is the final play, right, in the Tally trilogy. But I don't know.
And Danny, there's a lot of physical comedy in this.
There is. In,
including you walking on ice skates and falling through a floor. You have to do that every night? That looks a little dangerous.
His
no,
hips
I just
don't
do
lie.
That half the time. No, I'm kidding. I do it every night, and it's hard. And it's exhausting, and my knees are swollen, and my back is killing me, and the stage is raked a little bit. So we're both, suffering through that, and I don't have to walk around the stage in heels, thank goodness.
But I don't have to walk around with boots with blades on them. So
that's true. it's a hard show to do. Physically,
is that why
no
you're panting to some degree? Also because of the rake stage? Because I know a number of actors have told me that's something the audience is unaware of,
well,
but especially if you're wearing high heels.
You're wearing high heels, sure. And I'm surprised how much the rake does not read to the audience. When I complain about it to anyone who sees the show, they say, oh, I didn't even notice. And, of course, when you're standing in it, Danny and I really feel as if we are going to pitch right into the audience.
Yeah.
So it's this balancing act of trying to, put all your weight on one leg, and then that hip starts to hurt, and you try not to think about it because you've got so many lines to say and so many things to do, and but
overall, it's been one of the most glorious experiences of my life.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I get to work with Sarah Paulson every single night, and it is an acting lesson and a thrill and a pleasure and an honor. And we love each other.
Well, in a two-character play, the two actors have to be perfectly matched. Otherwise, and I've been in situations like that, where you say, oh, gee, she just wasn't up to him, or vice versa.
Right.
After it closes, back to TV?
Yeah, I start the third season of American Horror Story in mid-July in New Orleans. Yeah, so that's what I'm
doing. And Danny, Boardwalk Empire, is that shot?
Probably.
And fielding 30 million offers for plays and musicals as well, he should be.
Well, yeah, it's been good. I'm just interested in maybe taking a couple of weeks off. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm, planning a vacation with my family. That's been the most important
thing. Did you know
thing.
That I was coming with you on that trip?
Oh, and Sarah.
I just wanted you to know that I'm planning on packing myself in your suitcase.
And then you'll come back on our show and tell us what the vacation was like.
Absolutely.
Thank you both so much for being on today.
Thanks,
Sarah Paulson, Danny Burstein, Tally's Folly. Now at the Laura Pels Theater on West 46th Street. You have until May 12th to see it. It's really quite lovely. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much.